In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God, amen. So, recently I found myself doing something funny. Over the past few days, I find myself spending a lot of time in front of the refrigerator. Just kind of staring inside it. Maybe the thought of Lent coming up soon is kind of in the mind. Maybe, you know, Jonas Fast coming. You know, in case you don't know, there's Jonas Fast tomorrow. Lent is in 2 weeks. Only 9 Futari days left, just in case you didn't know. So recently I found myself, even though I eat, I still find myself in front of the fridge just kind of checking out what's there. Just seeing if any new options have shown up recently. And just seeing what's there, because somehow, even though I just ate, I'm still hungry. So what I'll do is I'll stand there, kind of look inside, see if there's anything new. Then I'll just kind of grab something, eat it, go back, and then something happens. You sit down and still hungry. So you go back. Is this just me? It's not just me, is it? So you stare at the exact same refrigerator with the exact same things, hoping that something will now have magically appeared that will satisfy your hunger. It's frustrating when you eat and you're still hungry. It's frustrating when you spend time and energy and effort to fill a hunger, but you find that the hunger never goes away. Well, have you ever found your soul feeling the same way? Because oftentimes what I discovered is that picture of me in front of the fridge, keep on eating and not being satisfied, keep on looking for something that will solve. Oftentimes, I find that my soul is in the same state, hungry. Not satisfied. Not because necessarily doing wrong things or wrong stuff, but just sometimes still in need of more. Well, the good news for today is we had a beautiful promise from our Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 6, verse 27, where he talked to us about eating and not being satisfied versus eating and being satisfied. He says, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you. A beautiful promise today that makes sense to me, and hopefully we can dig inside and understand it. Because sometimes your soul is hungry. And sometimes your soul is not satisfied. There's two reasons why you would be not satisfied. Okay? There's two kinds of ways that you would that this would happen. The first one is something, of course, because we're all spiritual people, and because we all love the Lord, okay, all of us realized a long time ago, we made this realization, but just in case there's some people who still haven't quite realized it, is that earthly things won't satisfy us. But of course, you know this, okay, and all of us know this, and that's why we're here right now. In the beginning, we used to be hungry, as every human being is hungry, so we used to seek satisfaction in pleasures and lusts. And we thought that money and house and car, but now you're spiritual. Now that doesn't apply to you. Now you know for sure, even though you really, really want that promotion, you know that promotion isn't going to satisfy you. You know that. And you know that even though you really, really want that problem to be solved and that circumstance to be fixed, you know that that's not really the solution. Maybe back then we thought it was, but now you know better. And now you don't get fooled by that stuff as easily. In the gospel for today, today's gospel was John chapter 6. Okay? So John chapter 6, we read from verse 22 to 27. But to understand it, you got to get the context. You have to know all of John 6. So John 6 begins, first few verses, with the feeding of the 5,000. Okay? You all know the story. Jesus on the mountain, people hungry, 5 loaves, 2 fish. Voila. Everyone eats, and there's plenty left over. After that, immediately after that, the people were so impressed and so amazed by what had happened that they, what it says there in verse 15, which you read last night in Vesper's Gospel, they wanted to worship Jesus. Okay, they still hadn't quite figured out who he is, but they know they ate good food. So this is what they said to him in verse 15. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again to a mountain by himself alone. What happened was, is they were so happy that he had solved their problem, they literally wanted to take him and make him and force him to be their king. Why? Because they wanted to really worship him. They wanted to have that relationship with him. They wanted him to be their savior. That's why? No. Because they had good food the night before. They wanted good food again this day. And they wanted good food the next day. And then they started to think, well, if he can do this with the food, maybe he can do some good stuff with healing. Maybe he can solve the situation with the Romans and give us freedom. Maybe he can solve a lot of problems for us. So they thought that the solution to their... They saw an unsatisfied in here, and they said, ah, more food, that'll solve it. Ah, more problems being solved, that'll solve it. Ah, more freedom from the Romans, ah, that'll solve it. But you and I both know that that isn't the case. So Jesus spoke to them and basically told them, I mean, we don't need to read it all, it was last night's Gospel of Vespers, but basically he told them that you're not seeking me for the right reasons, so he left them. Like I said, you know that lesson. You know that lesson. Okay, you wouldn't be here today unless you knew that lesson. That the world can't satisfy us. As sometimes we think that that job, that promotion, that raise, we think it will satisfy us. But we're not that foolish. Because we know there was a time, anyone who complains about the economy and the money and stuff like that, just remember this. You have this much money now. There was a time when you had this much money. And you said, I can't wait till I get this much money. And now you have that much money. And now you're saying, well, I'll really be happy when I have this much money. It never ends. Just like the people with the food. Okay? If the food was the solution, hey, last night, they had more than enough food. And more than enough fish sandwiches. And there was enough where everyone was satisfied. And there was 12 baskets left over. So don't tell me that food is going to solve the problem. Don't tell me that money is going to solve my problem. Don't tell me that a promotion is going to solve my problem. Don't tell me that stuff is going to solve my problem. And like Ubuntu Shoy always says, for example, let's say single person, thinking that a relationship, that marriage will solve all my problems. Yeah, okay? Just ask Ubuntu Shoy if marriage, you know, ask him with all the stuff that he sees, does marriage solve all the problems of the people? Would the people would have no problems if everyone was married? You can ask him until you see what he says. We know that. We're not fooled by that. Thankfully, God knows that even though we know that, that sometimes we need some wake-up calls. Sometimes. Because sometimes we slip back into that. And sometimes we're hungry and we're trying to munch on all these things and then he has to shake us up every now and then. Hey guys, really, this isn't the solution to your problem. And if you think it's a solution to your problem, parents, if I have a child who says, that lollipop, I need that lollipop. And I will not be happy until I have that lollipop. And that's the lollipop. That's the end all be all. I need that lollipop. Parents, what would you do with that lollipop? Would you give it to the child? Man, I'd give my child anything except that lollipop. Because that child needs to know that lollipop ain't the solution to your problems. And if you think that's the solution to your problems, I'm going to take it. I'm going to crush it. I'm going to step on it. I'm going to break it. And I'll make you realize that life goes on without the lollipop. Even though I want you to have a lollipop. And I want you to enjoy the lollipop. Who doesn't enjoy lollipop? But if you think the lollipop is the solution, I'm going to take it away from you. Like I said, that's not us. That's not us. We know that earthly stuff won't satisfy. So what if I'm not seeking earthly stuff? What if I am, like you, I come to church on Sunday, I pray, I fast, kind of grudgingly, but I fast, I give, definitely grudgingly, but I give. I do the things I'm supposed to do. Maybe I'm not perfect. But what if I'm still not satisfied on the inside? First step is realize that the earthly won't satisfy. Second step, kind of logic, is find the correct food that will satisfy. Let's pick up our story here, which we just read in the gospel. Like I said, feed the 5,000, make him a king. I don't want to be your king. You guys have the wrong idea of what a king is. And then they all go to sleep. He's on one side of the lake. In the middle of the night, this is the gospel of Vespers last night, he walks on water to get to the disciples in the boat, get to the other side. Don't worry about that for right now. Wake up in the morning. I'm on one side of the lake. and I find out that Jesus is on the other side of the lake. I don't know how he got there. There was no boats. They get over to the other side of the lake as fast as they can. They left this side of the lake. They left their home. They left whatever to-do list they had for the day, whatever appointments they canceled. They didn't watch their TV show, whatever, to get to the other side of the lake to find Jesus. Verse 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them and said, Most assuredly, I say to you, seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Is that a nice response? Is that polite? Does that seem like the right thing? Like, come on. These people, they like you. They're trying to get to know you. They liked you yesterday, and then they came all the way to this side to find you. Why not satisfy them? Why could a stiff arm them a little bit? Like, rebukes them. And he... Why? These people did something good or did something bad? Did something good. Don't tell me they did something bad. They could have done bad stuff on the other side of the lake. They could have stayed. They could have gone to work. Tried to make more money. They could have partied. They could have done all the bad stuff on the other side. They left the bad to come seek the good. Why he treats them this way. I think they should be praised. That's what I think. I think they should get a reward. I think they should get more fish sandwiches, number one. And then secondly, I think that God should give them peace inside. Because I know what it's like, and so do you, when you're trying to seek him, and you're trying to get close to him, and you're praying more, and you're trying to come to church, and you feel as if you're getting stiff-armed. Right? When you're trying to seek him, and you're trying to find satisfaction in him, and you're trying to get closer to him, and you feel as if he's almost pushing you away sometimes. You ever felt that way? That's that inside soul hungry that I said in the beginning. That sometimes we go to the fridge, and we stand in front of the fridge, and even we're looking for the right thing, but still not satisfied. How can it be? How can it be that I would seek him, that I would come to church more, and still feel empty? That I would pray more and still feel empty? That I would fast more and still feel empty? That I would read my Bible more and give more and serve more and still feel empty? First step, I said, realize earthly doesn't satisfy. Second step is realize what does satisfy. And more doesn't satisfy. I said this before, and I'll say this again. One of the things that somehow is in our brain, it's society around us, it's who we are, it's human beings, whatever. We tend to focus on quantity instead of quality. Quantity doesn't solve. Outside things don't solve. The satisfaction on the inside is what I'm trying to say. The outside stuff doesn't satisfy on the inside. The outside stuff doesn't fill the inside hunger. If you want inside hunger solved, you need inside stuff. And for many of us, when we're inside hungry, all we do is we add outside stuff. These people were hungry inside. So they said, Jesus, come solve us on outside. And they wanted outside problems solved. And they wanted Jesus to be a cook for them, and a king for them, and a doctor for them, and all these things for them. But they didn't come to him to get to know him personally. There's two parts to every spirit, like our relationship with God. There's an outside part and an inside part. And I'm not saying you should, I'm not saying the outside is not important, but what I'm saying is don't go to either extreme. Don't go to either extreme. There's outside, which we need. And then there's inside, which we need. We don't want to be on either one of the two extremes of only inside, no outside, and only outside, no inside. What do I mean by that? Outside is the things that generally, like I heard a very nice sermon by Pope Shenouda. It was a sermon that he gave a long time ago, and he was speaking about this outside inside. And he was speaking about a lot of the outside stuff that we do And I remember specifically the ones that stuck out in my mind was like fasting and giving. And he was saying, you fast, you give. What relationship do you have with fasting other than the outside stuff? What is fasting to you other than food? What is giving to you other than money, than a check, or even something that you do on the computer? What is your relationship with prayer other than standing up and reading a few words off a piece of paper? Usually, when our spiritual life suffers, we seek to do more. And what I'm saying is, if there's a hunger and there's a lack of satisfaction, then maybe we need to focus on the inside and less on the outside. I'm not saying that we shouldn't pray more, but what I'm saying is we should focus on really praying as opposed to just praying more. I think I said this one time in a sermon. How many times, like for example, we say prayers versus we actually pray? Like saying more prayers isn't the solution to the problem. Praying is the solution to the problem. Reading the Bible more isn't the solution to the problem. Living the Bible is the solution to the problem. Taking communion more isn't the solution to the problem. Having communion with God is the solution to the problem. You get what I'm trying to say? Let me give you an example. After this discussion with these people, they didn't get it. Okay? They didn't get it because their focus so much is on outside. So after he's speaking to them about this food, they said to him in the very next verse, which we didn't read in the gospel, but is verse 28. They said, like every one of us, like every one of us would say, verse 28, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And he again rebuked them later on. What shall we do? And I'm not talking to you about do. You guys are doing. You're doing. I know you. You're doing. You're coming to church. You're praying. I'm assuming here, okay? You're praying. You're reading your Bible. You're fasting. You're giving. Okay? Assumptions, okay? But hopefully they're true. You're doing. I'm not telling you do more. I'm telling you that it's an inside, not an outside. Don't say more prayers, pray more. Don't take more communion, have more communion. Don't read Bible more, live Bible more. Don't fast, don't eat more fasting food. Fast more. Don't eat more fasting food. No one wants to eat more fasting food. Fast. Don't write more checks. Give. Don't do more service. Serve. You understand where I'm going? Today's readings gave us an example of this. Acts the Apostle today. Acts chapter 9. Story of Saul, who later became St. Paul, as he's walking on a road to Damascus. Y'all know the story. Light shines, falls down, he goes blind, Jesus appears to him. St. Paul's life is changed forever. Let me ask you a question. As Saul is walking down this road to Damascus, was he doing good or not good in life? 100% good. More good than you've ever done good. How can that be? Well, he was bad, he was this. Let's just kind of take a survey, an outside survey. Who prayed more, him or me? Him. And no one prayed more than St. Paul. He was the strictest of the strict when it came to the prayers. Who fasted more? Paul. Who was serving God more? He, in his mind, even though he was doing the wrong service, in his mind, he was very zealous for God. And that's why he went every single place to try to serve God to the best of his abilities. Who knew the Bible more? Him. Man, on the outside, we'd made this guy not just a priest, not just a bishop, we made him a pope. Because on the outside, he was good. But there was a problem. Is that he was so focused on the outside. Pray this, read this, serve this, do this. Jesus appeared to him one day and said, hey, you missed me. Are you looking at me? Are you looking at me or you're just focused on that? What's the expression that, I messed it up in the first liturgy. The trees from the forest. You guys know that expression? Does anyone know that one? How does it go? You miss the trees and you see the forest or something. Who?
You focus on the trees.
Yeah, you look so much at the trees, you miss the forest. Okay? Basically meaning that you're so focused on this, and so focused on that, and so focused on that, and Jesus is back here the whole time waving with both of his hands. You remember me? You remember me? I'm supposed to be involved in prayer, not just the pages. I'm supposed to be involved in the Bible. I'm in fasting as well, even fasting. I'm supposed to be in it. You remember me? You know what Jesus did to Saul? Because he couldn't see him? He made him blind. Why? So he could see him. He made him blind so he could see him. Because before he was blind, he could only see outside stuff. Jesus came to him and said, "Ah, I got to fix that problem." So he took away his sight. Or I mean, he gave him sight. You look at it how you want to look at it. God's message for us today is a beautiful message. It's not a harsh message. It's a beautiful one. Is that he wants to satisfy us. He wants to fill us. Anyone who thinks that you're just supposed to be miserable in this life and supposed to be empty and supposed to be hungry, that's not how we're supposed to live. He came to satisfy us. He came to fill our hunger. He came that, like he said, that we may have food the last. Not that food that every time we eat it, we go back to the fridge looking for more. Food that lasts. That we sleep comfortable, that we rest, last satisfaction, real satisfaction. But it isn't going to come from outside. It's going to come when we focus on the inner life. In the liturgy, in just a few minutes, there's a piece of the liturgy that we say, which is like a back and forth dialogue, okay? The liturgy, like the official liturgy of the believers, the official liturgy begins when the priest turns around to you and says, "The Lord is with you. Lord be with you." And then we say, "And with your spirit." That's the start. Okay, we begin by saying, "The Lord is with you." Once the Lord is with you, then the priest gives a commandment. A commandment. Not an optional, not just a dead ritual. And I was taught by the person who taught me, okay, that when we say this piece, when the priest says, "Lift up your hearts," if you can't answer truthfully, don't lie to God. It's better to keep your mouth shut than to say, "We have them with the Lord." But really, our mind is elsewhere, our heart is elsewhere, everything is elsewhere. Don't lie before the altar of God. Don't lie. We're going to get to this piece, and I want everyone to make sure that anytime you pray a liturgy, okay, this is like I'm saying, it's not just taking communion, it's have communion. Is lift up your hearts to the Lord and really put your hearts with God. And everything that you do, you should seek to have your heart with God. If you're going to pray, pray 1 minute with all your heart better than 1,000 hours with no heart. If you're going to fast, there's a story. I remember a story that someone told me about a very spiritual person. A very, very, very spiritual person. Very spiritual person. Who wanted, basically, fasting came. And he said, "You know, I'm going to go to my father of confession and see how long I'm going to fast till." Okay? And he was like a, he started to think of himself as very spiritual. So he himself was a priest, and he used to tell people, "Make sure you fast till 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, at minimum." And he himself said, "I'm going to fast all day till 8 o'clock. But he in his mind started to do like that. So he came to his priest, and his priest, you know, God gave him wisdom. So he said to his priest, "I'm going to fast till 8 o'clock, I'm going to this, this, and that." Priest said, "You, no, no, no. At your spiritual level, you fast till about 10 a.m., 10:15. The guy couldn't. Yeah. Why? Because his focus was outside. And the priest needed to get him to not be focused outside. I'd rather fast from 8 to 8:03 with all my heart than fast years and years and years with no heart. I'm not saying don't fast. Okay, understand me. Okay, I'm not saying just so we don't have any... I'm not saying don't do outside. I'm saying there's extremes, and we don't want to go to either one. And I think that some people in this world, they do too much on this side. But I think us, we do too much on this side. So I'm trying to get us everyone back to the middle. Okay? Don't take me wrong. Okay? Matthew 23:23 says, "These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." So when the Lord rebuked the Pharisees, he didn't tell them, "Don't do the outside." He's saying, "Continue to do the outside, but put the inside into it." Okay, just so we're clear. Anyway, what was I saying? Is that what we want to do is do things in a quality way. The theme of this year has been 1 year to live. Okay, and truly, if this is my last, like we have Jonas Fast coming up tomorrow. If we have 1 year to live, this is our last Jonas Fast, right? If we have 1 year to live, then this Lent, which is coming up, is our last Lent. If this is the last time we go through it, that's the way we want to fast. And that's the way we want to attend this liturgy, if it's the last one. Last thing I'll say, since I mentioned Jonas Fast beginning tomorrow, the people of Nineveh in the book of Jonah were a bunch of people who were unsatisfied and they had a lot of hunger. And they themselves were looking to all the wrong things to fill it. They said, you know, we're not satisfied. Something's not right. Maybe this sin. And they lived in sin. Lust, pleasure, all these different things they were looking to satisfy. Still hungry. And then a young man, young preacher man, came and gave them a great sermon. And the young man came and gave them a great sermon. He said, guys, it's not going to work this way. You want to be really satisfied? You need to turn your hearts to the Lord. It's not a matter of doing stuff. And what they did is, they did the outside plus the inside. They fasted, they wore sackcloth and ashes, but more importantly, they turned their hearts toward God and they found that satisfaction. And that's the satisfaction that God wants to give us today as well. Glory be to God forever. Amen.